What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Survivor Podcast. Hey, everybody, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Survivor episode. I'm Jeff. I'll be hosting today, and joining me on this one is Jason. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. I'm still recovering over my sickness, so I actually sound incredibly more nasally than I normally do, so sorry about that.
All right, Mason and Scott, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are y'all doing today?
Good. Doing good.
All right, so we'll jump right into it. Waste no time. Want no time. So then let's do our own chronology. Okay. We'll do redemption, and then we'll jump to the main
list. Okay, since they are kind of separate, yeah.
Yeah. So, what'd you think of the clue and the task and the way that, what's her name, solved it?
I did like that Amber actually was smart about it. She just looked at the wrong numbers. But now what's... You know, it's almost like it was an advantage for Natalie to get there first, because now she knows, okay, every time somebody comes, there's going to be something. She's already accumulated 3 fire tokens at this point.
Yeah, yeah, she's the richest person.
Now, they still haven't said what exactly, you know, like if she ends up with 10 fire tokens, what can they get her? They haven't really said that, but she seems to be in a much stronger position now than anybody else on Redemption Island.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like definitely the goal of Redemption Island is to get the fire tokens. They really haven't said, I guess, what, that's going to entail. You know, it could be, like you said, I think last episode, whoever has the most gets to go back or whatever. But, and almost like she seems to be the only one that really has picked up on that, I guess, because she's really the only one that's had the opportunity to kind of get them. She keeps on finding all the clues.
I mean, technically, she's the only one that knows what these rewards entail.
Right. So Amber might have thought, or the other two might have thought, that all they might get an advantage, that they don't necessarily know that they can sell an advantage for a fire token.
Somebody else, correct.
Right. Or whatever it is. And then I don't know that you're just by your way in, because if so, then the longest one there, maybe, or it's not, maybe they'll do more where you buy chances to get in. And it's kind of like lottery tickets, and she could buy 3 tickets where Amber only has 1 or none. Or
maybe having more will give them an advantage in some kind of challenge to get back or something like that. Like you get a head start for every – a minute head start for every fire token you have, or something like that.
Yeah, a bug-eating challenge, and, like, you can pay a fire token to not eat the bug or something. Nope, not eating that one. Nope, not eating that one. Nope, not eating that one. And you just keep advancing.
Eat some mud bugs.
Ooh, yeah, there you go. All right, so then I like that, because I think when you first read the challenge, you thought she was just going to sell the advantage to Sarah, but then when Sarah gets it, she's got to, not only does she buy it, but she has to do the whole infiltration thing, which is, it's becoming a thing that I think the producers are liking, and I like it. I like the whole, you have to sneak into the camp at night and steal something.
Yeah, did they do that? They did that last season, I believe.
Yes, they did. If not the last two or two ago, yeah.
Right, so it is kind of tough. Now, the only thing I will say about that is, and you've talked about it, the certain editing, but also like the fact that it's not like it's just all these people around camp and it's quiet and that's it. So like the second you snap a branch, they can hear you. You got to think you still got all the crew members around. Right. You've got whatever. So these players are actually used to hearing other sounds. So it's not like they hear a sound and like, ooh, what's that? That they're going to be startled, because I think they're accustomed to other sounds. So that does work in the favor of someone trying to sneak into camp. It does make it a little easier.
Well, that is true, because right, you think about it, like a camera's following her in. And granted, Ethan was up. So in order to set this up, they would have had to have cameras already there so they wouldn't get suspicious. Why is the camera all of a sudden being on?
Right.
It's very interesting how that, like, the production of that does happen, or whether or not they, I have read in the past that, like, with challenges, and we might have talked about this too, they'll run the challenge, film whatever they film, and whatever the outcome is, that's what the outcome of the challenge is going to be. But then they'll go back and rerun the challenge with setting up different shots and doing different things on purpose for editing for the show purpose. So they'll do the challenge multiple times or walk through it kind of deal so that they can get the shots that they want. Yeah, yeah. No I way. Read that on a Secrets Revealed blog or something like that.
Do you think they shoot
it live the first time and that's all the footage they use? No, they go back and they reshoot it multiple times.
No. What happens is they do a walkthrough with these, like they have a crew of people that walk through the challenge so that the contestants can see
that. Yes.
I do not believe that they have the contestants do it again. There's no way.
Yeah, they might not do it. They're not doing it again to see, like, best 2 out of 3. Whatever the outcome of the real run-through,
that's who wins the challenge. Sure,
but
sure.
Then it's just like doing a show. We're going to do another take so that maybe I want a different angle of Tony climbing up the ladder. Maybe I want the aerial shot of Tony, and I missed it. So let's – and they might not walk the challenge, but they'll say, okay, Tony, go up this ladder while we shoot this, and everybody hold it or something. Or let's drop the ladder. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Let's get a shot.
Was that like quotes from players' mouths, or was that speculation? Or
that is former player. You know, the whole like I was on Survivor, and this is what it was like. Like Russell Hance or somebody said something, and that was a long time ago. So if that's true and that happens, then it would also make sense that they might have had Sarah. You sneak in, and if you get it undetected with no cameras there, you come back with it, great, and then we'll reshoot it. You know, but then again, no, because. If she has it, no one can know she has it. You know what I mean? So if you did reshoot that, then everybody knows she has something. So no, I think that had to be real. That had to be real footage, and she had to really do it with the cameras there, because that's not something you could reshoot, because it's secret. Interesting. Right. It is interesting.
Yeah.
Old boy woke his. He opened his eyes, but he didn't do. I sat there as I'm watching. I'm like, all she's doing, like, clang, clang. I was waiting for all those torches to come tumbling down.
That would have been great.
All right. Let's get into the tribes themselves. Let's go to the winning tribe, and then we'll get to the drama as our final.
Right. You had the little fun with Tony and his shark.
That was awesome. That was actually quite awesome, because he even acknowledged, like, it came up to bite me, and I thought, like, to think that fast and, like, be like, I can't drop this in the water and still hold on to it. I have more respect for Tony after this episode than I did coming into it. Mm-hmm. Scott, you don't like that? You don't think
I mean, respect for him because he picked up a shark and didn't drop it. I mean,
yes.
I
don't know. If that thing came up, you would have been like, yeah.
You got to know a fish is going to buck once you pick it up. I mean, so sharks have teeth. I mean, they can bite you.
Baby sharks, by the way. Even if it bit him, it probably wouldn't even penetrate the skin.
They got some sharp teeth.
Still a shark.
Still a shark. But, it was good for them to catch that shark. Kind of helped with, I can't think of the girl's name, but the queen
Sandra?
Or whatever. Yeah, her. You know, kind of made her, I guess, important to the tribe, to where, you know, she seems useful. Like, you know, it kind of seems by, I guess maybe they'll keep her around if they ever lose again, because they keep winning the challenges. So,
I mean, I feel like Tyson's right. They have to get rid of her. The only problem is now that she knows Tyson wants her out.
Yeah,
I think that spells doom for Tyson.
Yep, he's screwed.
Well, she does have some pretty solid support, it seems like. Her friends are behind her, and I don't get that, because I kind of agree. Like, you've already got $2 million out of this thing.
Maybe. I mean, the one thing you could say is it's a shield for them, because at some point when you get far enough in the game, it's like, okay, she's won twice. She can't win again.
Yeah, right. And she's really not a threat to win individual immunities either.
No,
yeah, I mean,
true.
She sits out, like, constantly.
Yeah,
the challenges.
Right.
It's like she ain't been doing shit.
But I would say, like, this whole idea of, oh, she's important to the tribe because of her contribution thing, Scott, you were saying. My fear, if I'm on the tribe, I'm like, well, I can vote her out now. We already got the fish idea. We know what we're doing. We don't need her anymore. Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye bye, Doki.
Right. So, I don't know. It's that tribe. I can't wait for them to lose, because I'm ready to see where people really stand.
Yeah, they've been kind of paying attention more to the other tribe, because they've been losing and there's more drama going on there, because, you know, they're having to vote people out.
Yeah.
So it would definitely be interesting to have, you know, the red tribe lose and kind of see what drama unfolds.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for that tribe, then. We're moving over to the...
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, they did win the challenge, which the challenge came down to the end when those, you know, they were putting the last two pieces. When it fell, you're like, oh, shit, come on, silly, come on. You can, you know, for a split second there, you're like, oh, that would be a fantastic ending. if they were to come behind and win. But
alas. At least it was closer than the last one.
Scott, did you like Jeff Probst's narration this time?
Nah. I mean, he didn't talk as much, I guess, but still pretty annoying.
I paid special attention to it this time.
And what'd you think? Was it annoying?
I
did
love
you like it.
No, I love it. I love it.
He adds that excitement to it.
Sealy is way behind. You got to pick it up.
Yeah. I think they
Tony's doing the fireman, or Jeremy's doing the going up that like a fireman or something. I mean, it was a pretty big advantage that they squandered, so they clearly didn't do as well on the puzzle. But, oh, that does remind me about that tribe. So when Sarah did recruit Tony to help her prepare for the raid, I laughed at the whole ash thing.
God.
I mean, it was smart to do, but
no, it wasn't.
When she goes to spin on it and it blows ash everywhere, and none of it worked.
It was so stupid, but it's hilarious, though.
It's there with Bijak, though. Tony is always up to mischief. He's having fun with it, I think. That's what the key was. All right, so other tribe now.
Rob. My boy. He's in danger.
I mean, it's great.
I don't understand why they don't get rid of him. I mean, if they had the votes to vote out Parv or Ethan, why not just vote out Rob? Like, it just doesn't.
Because the producers won't let him.
It just doesn't make any sense.
I tend to kind of think that because, I mean, they keep saying, well, he's got so much power. Well,
he had none power.
Exactly. Get rid of him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they're like, we got to break up that trio. Well, if you break it up and you get rid of the head, you know.
I know.
They're not fucking Hydra.
Right. Where you get rid of one head and two grows. Right. So, I mean, it's not.
That goes into that feeds the conspiracy theory that the game is controlled more than you think it is.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not letting them. You can't get rid of Rob. Rob and Sandra, like Adam was saying in Tribal Council, he's got a statue built of him, and yet none of you even consider voting him out.
Yeah.
And I was very surprised at Ethan when I really thought Parv was going, you know, because they didn't really, you know, they kind of said either Adam or Parv, you know, they didn't really talk too much about Ethan. They talked a little bit about getting rid of him, but.
That's how you know that's who it is.
I guess.
The show didn't want you to think about that.
I really thought it was going to be Adam. And, you know, obviously they had three votes for Adam. So it was Parv, Ethan, and Rob.
Adam.
Nobody went along with it. So,
yeah, and it was smart of them not to. I mean, they really needed to stick and get, you know, if their plan was to get rid of the old timers, they couldn't go to get Adam right now. They had to make sure they got at least one of the old timers off now to make sure they can maintain their advantage. And even if Adam flips, they're still okay.
But why not? So Michelle, Jeremy, and Ben, that's who did this. So why not throw your votes to Parv and just have the majority and not put Adam on notice. I think it was a foolish move. I don't think they need, and it's a power grab, because remember last week when Jeremy was all obsessed with being the one to control the tribe and call the shot.
Right.
I really think that this was a power move more than anything. Like, why switch it to Ethan? What threat is he more or less than Parvati? Other than to tell Adam you're not in charge.
I mean, I think that's basically it. Just to say, hey, man, don't go flipping sides, you know. I mean, I think that's it.
But I think that's a mistake, because if I'm Adam, I'm going to Rob now with Denise, and there's four. If Rob and Adam can, you know, look past the betrayal and say, you know what, let's the four of us go against the three of them.
Well, I mean, you're assuming Denise is going to go with Adam. I mean, I know they. I mean, but she voted with the other three.
Denise
to vote out
Parv.
Ethan.
Denise and Parvati get along really well, and they like each other.
Okay.
And I think Adam and Rob are both – they're not emotional players like that. They're not going to hold a grudge like that. I mean, I think it'll be in the back of their minds. Like, I'll stab you in the back later, but I don't have to get my revenge right now.
I mean, it was a bold move of Adam to tell Rob everything. The problem is you can't tell that to Rob. Like, Rob is one of the best players, if not the best player ever. You know, yes, it does help to tell some truth at some point, but not to Rob. Like, especially his one major alliance, you know, member. It was bold.
Especially the 3 days after, Danny did the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. And look what they did to her.
Hey, Rob, we're going to vote out Parvati. Danny goes home. Adam, so you know what I ought to do? I ought to do what Danny did.
Right. Yeah.
Stupid move. He should have just done it. Or I honestly think Rob would have understood it. It's a game move, dude. So, all right. Yeah. So, it does – this whole old school versus new school strategy, I think we touched on a little bit last week because they brought it up. But it does – I'm starting to – I'm trying to, like, put it into some clarity, some words. Like, what is the real difference between that? Besides that, an old school survivor, it was you forge an alliance and you stay loyal to that alliance no matter what, and you can't be broken. New school – like Adam in this case, is your alliances shift every council based on what you want and what you need. And you can act in like Adam's new school way is if I can actually talk to Ethan and maybe he'll turn on Parvati for the sake of voting for me. Whereas in the past, if you do something like that, no, you're out. You know, you tell me and you're out.
I really think it's going to come back to bite Adam because at this point, everybody knows that he's playing both sides. So nobody's going to trust him.
It might bite him because I think that new way of playing is a player that plays like that is going to win more than the old school mentality. They've got too many old schoolers out at this point. And I think the reason is because the old schoolers refuse to adapt. We're locked in with us. And that's what we're riding with. And the new schoolers are like, oh, well, we'll just kind of pick you apart then because we can constantly move and shift. It's like, hoo-ah, hoo-ah, hoo-ah. and I think what happens is when Adam uses that strategy on an old schooler, that's what's going to kill Adam. But if he were to do that on a new schooler, it would have worked.
I think they could use Adam to – one group or the other could use Adam to feed misinformation is what I would do. Because if you know he's playing both sides, give him misinformation and then do something opposite. And then use him in that way, and then eventually you can get rid of him when you don't need him anymore.
Kind of like the old Jamarcus Russell tapes. Take these tapes home and watch them and tell him. Aha! Gotcha! I mean, I don't know. I think I'm enjoying watching the two styles of play really start to, because Jeff always used to talk about that. Like, it's a new style of Survivor that's evolving over the last 10 years. And I never really, really saw it. I mean, you see alliances shifting and all that kind of stuff, not as so much being dug in. But to see them being played, both styles being played in the same tribe, in the same game, that's a pretty neat thing. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and again, it all goes back to the fact that you're not dealing with rookies, you're dealing with winners. You know, it just adds that extra level, like these are all the best of the best playing.
Except Michelle.
Yeah, except Michelle. She even said that last night. She's like, yeah, you know, people never thought I should have won my season. Like, yeah, you're damn right, you should have.
No, they didn't think, they knew.
Yeah.
Now, I did read something, and I don't know if it's true, so this falls under the rumor category, but apparently... it was a meme that was like with Rob's face, like all disturbed at the vote. And it was like, the moment you realize that your wife is going to be alone on an island with her ex. Because apparently the rumor is that Ethan and Amber dated before her and Rob got together.
Hmm. Well, they were on the same original season, right? Africa?
I think so. Was she on Africa? I don't remember.
And then All Stars, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Damn. So yeah. So there goes Ethan heading over to the old redemption, and I'm curious about what's going to happen with the redemption next week because apparently everybody would look like they were about to faint.
That's what it looks like. Yeah.
So we'll see. The nurse had to be called in, or doctor. All right,
doctor.
Anything else on anything else on Survivor?
No. Again, just it continues to be a strong season. You know, I look forward to it every week. Even more than normal.
Yes, me too. Survivor Wednesday. All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Don't Patrol United podcast. Follow us on Twitter for daily conversation at Don't Patrol US and Don't Patrol UK. You can like us on Facebook to watch live broadcasts, subscribe on YouTube to watch, or to listen as an alternative to your podcast app. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to Don't Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, island donkeys.
The tribe has spoken. My king or dragon.